Before we get started, I want to say thank you so much to Carlos with his podcast, Queso Frito. If you guys want to check him out, he was the one who hosted this and linked me up with Lionel, and we're using his footage. We're in his setup. If you want to check him out, I'm going to link his YouTube channel that they just started, but also the podcast on Spotify. Go show him some love, guys. I really would appreciate that. And with that being said, guys, enjoy the podcast.
I want to say that. How I really came across his podcast.
Okay.
And boy, I'll tell you what, you made me shed a tear.
Oh, man, that's encouraging.
Yeah, because like, one of the things that I've been, I said, I have a pretty traumatic like past.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I got some heavy questions I want to ask from a spiritual perspective. You know what I mean?
Let's go for it.
Because like, my struggle, to put it short, just because of my traumatic past, I really struggle to, I have a lot of trust issues.
Okay.
You know, and I kind of even have trust issues when it comes to like the church in general. And I know that it's all about finding the right church and everything and stuff like that.
Okay.
But my biggest issue is like, I have a hard time accepting the gospel, even though I want to. I feel like God is calling me to do it.
Okay.
And I just like, all right, I don't know how to start this.
Speak freely, bro. Speak freely.
So I was, you know, I come from a very broken household.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm a survivor of sexual abuse as well, too. You know, mm-hmm. I went through that. So that came along with both psychological and physical torture, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happened in my household as well, too, in a place that I was supposed to feel secure.
Okay.
And safe. And obviously that was taken away from me. And it didn't really become an issue probably until like my late teens, almost into my 20s, is when my PTSD, like I started having really bad PTSD.
Okay.
Like I would go like days without sleeping. Like I would almost start hallucinating, for lack of better words. And like I even got to a point where I started having demonic dreams.
Okay.
Like it was like real disturbing.
We're talking about like sleep paralysis, you can't move type stuff.
Yeah, I've had that before, and then seen the sleep paralysis demons as they're known. But I've also had like such bad like haunting things. Like one time I had a dream in the room that I was living at, that there was something grabbing me by my leg and dragging me out of the room.
Got you.
But everything in my room was spinning in the corner of the room. And it was like super dark in the room. And I was being dragged into like a light, which is really weird.
Okay.
But yeah, like that was like disturbing and stuff like that. So, you know, like I've just had a lot of issues.
Before you go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe everything that you're saying.
Okay.
I believe everything that you're saying.
Okay.
All right. Keep going.
Okay. I mean, I didn't think, to me, the way that I see it, if someone doesn't believe it, that's completely fine.
You know? No. So the reason I say that is because, like, I could identify with everything that you're talking about from personal experience.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. So, like, so earlier on in my faith walk, when I would share similar stories, people would look at me a little sideways, so I would stop sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, later on, now that I've been walking with the Lord for about 13 years, I'll drop a little hint. And if somebody can identify, I'll continue.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really share that side of my story as much.
Gotcha.
So I just wanted to reaffirm, like, I know what you're talking about, so feel free, because I could identify.
Good. Yeah. I don't have to feel so crazy.
Nah, you're good. You, like, you could feel free, because I could totally identify with what you're talking about.
So, like, for me, a lot of the issues just kind of came is, like, you know, I've had some really strange... You've had those instances in your life, though, where you look back and you're like, that is so specific, like hyper specific, that there ain't no way that was not God.
Yeah.
And like, I've had situations like that, which is, again, I felt like it was God pulling me closer to, you know, him and trying to get closer to him. Because again, I come from a Christian household.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was forced on me. That was actually the biggest thing that pushed me away from it. I hate the idea of forcing any form of religious ideology.
Okay.
And now that I have a child myself, like, you know, and my wife and I were married. Like, that's one of the things that I even stand beside. I told her, like, the best way that I want to teach it is by her and I being the example and letting him learn through our experiences. I don't want to say, oh, you have to go here, you have to do this, because especially when you're in an early age, you're not going to understand a lot of these big...
theological words and
right.
jargon.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It can almost, like, push people away. And you know, sometimes... It's not intentional, but, like, it can come off very judgmental.
Yeah.
It can come off kind of like, you know, they're not good enough or they need
for
to.
Sure.
And I don't want to diminish who they are and their character when they're still at a developmental standpoint, you know, point.
Mm-hmm.
So to go back onto the past, you know, so I just kind of come with from a lot of, like, you know, that's just a little snippet, for lack of better words. I come from a lot of, like, traumatic things, and I develop a lot of anger.
Okay.
Because I'm like, if God is real, why does he allow all these bad things to happen?
So right? You personally, or like to like the world?
The
like
world.
Okay.
I mean, so to me personally, you. Yes. Okay. Yes. Like it bothers me. Like, for example, I want to do what I can to provide for my family, yeah. And I want to live a good life.
Yeah.
I hate money. I don't care to make money, but I feel like in the world we live in, we need to make some kind of money.
Okay.
Right? And I feel guilty if I provide a good life for my family, knowing that there are people like outside of the normal, meaning that our bills are taken care of, that we have good health insurance, you know, that we have food on the table.
Welcome to the Think Theory podcast. My name is Ryan, and I'm here to help you build the life that you love by inspiring, leading, and motivating, and helping you have a better day than yesterday. Let's get it.
We were bringing in like $20,000 a month, you know, between I was like doing this and stuff like that, and you know, I had sponsorships for, and I was like bringing. But it all got taken away like that, yeah. Right? And it's like, not that I develop a bad thing, but my point being is like, you know, we've had a decent relationship with money.
Yeah.
And like, I just don't care to make it. And okay. The more that I sit and like, become like, I just feel guilty with mm-hmm. the idea that if I can live a good life, why should I when there are other people suffering?
Okay.
You know, and it's like little things like that, like questions and these little micro problems with the world that I'm like, mm-hmm. if God is real, why does he allow these bad things to happen? Now, of course, mm-hmm. since I started educating myself, of course, I learned that God gives us free will.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, there are people who choose to do wrong things with those free wills. They have malintentions or selfish intentions, you yeah. know, because the God that they serve isn't our God, you yeah. know? And that's actually helped me find a lot of peace with the things that happened in my past. And it made me realize, you know, because I first started really kind of leaning, I was, before faith came into my life, I was leaning more towards science and psychology, okay. Those, both of which can go in hand in hand.
I think like, they do.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've learned after, like, you know, I was forced to see therapy for a good bit there, which I'm thankful that I was. But after really focusing a lot on myself, I've learned more psychology than I started studying it and learning from other people who, like, clinical psychologists, studies out there. You know, I even took some psychology courses when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So I developed a good understanding of psychology, and I realized that with the free will that God gave my stepfather, mm-hmm. he chose to do what he did, but yeah. he was also, not to justify what he did, it's still wrong,
yeah.
but he was also dealing with his own demons.
Hurt people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it's, like, weird to say that because, like, oh, he's still a bad person. Like, he did. Yeah, I'm not saying that what he did is justified, not, no. You know what I mean? It's an atrocious thing. Mm-hmm. So like with me, to go back kind of full circle there, it's like I've developed a lot of hatred and anger for the world, and I've kind of settled down a little bit. You know, and even I've even talked with Carlos a lot about this. It's just mm-hmm. like I want to do good in the world, and I want to share, but it's like good isn't going to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. And it's like if God wants us to do these particular things, like I've struggled with just like the like learning the word right now has felt like a chore. Like, why can't I be as obsessed with learning the word as I am with helping other people okay. and being and giving back? So,
learning the word as in the Bible, you mean?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Like my wife and I, we were gifted. We have best friends of ours from South Carolina. They were originally living up here, but they're also Christians as well too. Okay. I'm gonna say followers of Jesus. Jesus. Yes. Okay. Like, because Christianity is kind of diluted. Little, you know what I mean?
For sure,
especially
for
nowadays. So they gave us a Bible study guide, mm-hmm. And that thing has been. It has tremendously helped us because it's helped us in our marriage and it's helped a lot of the contradictions that you can read in the Bible because not all, you can't read front to back, you know, it's not, there's a chronological order
there's
to it.
There's a way to read it.
Right, I didn't know that. Okay. So a lot of that stuff has helped, but at the same time, like, I just struggle with, like, do you believe that God, everyone's born with a purpose?
Yeah.
Do you believe that God has put us in this earth and everyone has a purpose of what they're intended to do with their life?
There is one, I believe that fundamentally all of humanity has one ultimate purpose that is the same purpose. Now, that can be played out in different ways, but fundamentally we have all one purpose. So everyone, I believe, according to scripture, that all three of us ultimately has the same purpose, which is to glorify God with our lives.
Right.
Now, how that is expressed is different,
right?
Like, for example, I have a good speaking gift. Mm-hmm. I speak well. Mm-hmm. So I'm to use that gift to glorify God. Right. Now, that gift could bring me monetary gain, right? But my purpose is to glorify God. Now, does it bring me monetary gain? Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
But ultimately, it's to glorify God. Like, when I first walked into this room, I saw you talking about the wiring and the speakers. You're clearly gifted at that, right? So fundamentally, that gift, its foundation, is to be used to glorify God. Now, can you do other things with it? Can you bless people?
Right.
Yes. Can you make money? Yes. Can you be a DJ at a party? Yes.
Right. You can use to do that with whatever you may.
But at its foundational purpose is to glorify God.
Okay. So I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've struggled with is that, like, the wiring and stuff, like, you could say I'm gifted, but that's just one. Like, there are many aspects in my life where I'm the type of person, when I like something, I go all in. And I learn everything I possibly can to it. And I become as good as I can, given the tools that I have, right? So, you know, like, for me, one of the things that, like, the wiring and stuff like that is great, but I've used, like, for me, the biggest thing, like I had mentioned before when we were just talking, like, I really feel like my purpose is to glorify God through the things that I've gone through and how he's transformed my life.
Yes.
And I want to do that, but it feels like every way that I try to do that,
yes,
fails.
I could identify with that.
It's so frustrating because, like, I have a good friend of mine. I actually met him when I was creating content full time.
Yeah.
I call him Hope Streamer. That was his username. But he stopped by my stream, and he was a gift sent from God.
Yeah.
Because he's a faith-based individual, and he was, you know, before I started talking about God and faith in general in my content, you know, he was talking to me about it. He was in my DMs, and we got real, like, close, and, like, he even, like, I gave him my number, and then we started talking, and he always checks up on me. He's like, hey, what can I pray for you about, just randomly out of the blue? And one of the things I was discussing with him is, like, look, I just feel, like I said earlier, I don't care to make money.
Yeah.
Not anymore, anyways. Used to be the God that I served, but now I feel like I'm either have to choose between making money or my mental or spiritual health.
Okay.
And I don't want to choose that, because in an ideal world, like, if money wasn't a thing, I would not be doing more than half of the things that I'm doing now.
Okay.
Because I'm doing it because I need the money to be able to make sure that my family's taken care of, you know, that they have the essentials.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I had a conversation with him. I was like, how does one make money while putting God in the foundation of everything? I don't understand that principle. You know, Matthew talks about that. You can only serve one God. You know what I mean? Yeah. You either love one or hate the other. And it's like, I sit there and I'm looking at it and I'm like, that confuses me more than anything.
So let's get into it. All right. So, like, is you being a father, right, and a husband, first of all, according to scripture, men are called to provide, period.
Right.
Right. So you making money to support your family is God honoring, bro. So first of all, money. People always say money's the root of all evil.
No, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil.
So if I got $1 billion right now, bro, if I got $1 billion and I'm feeding millions of people,
I don't have
any interest in the money, but I'm feeding millions of people, I'm honoring God with the resources that he gives me.
And see, that is, so this is gonna, I don't want this to sound egotistical.
Go for it.
But I know that I'm capable of making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
I have, so one of the things that I do, like Carlos, him and I, it was by the miracle of God how we started connecting. Like, it was these strangest things, but it happened through FedEx. And nonetheless, like, even with him, I was like, look, I have a business that I started. I was like, it did fail, but I did learn a lot through it. And it was particularly to do with the content creation aspect. I was like, if you want my help, like, let me know. I've given consultation, for lack of a better word, to tons of people, and there are tons of people who've applied it to the T that I've said, and they've experienced an incremental, like, a great amount of success. So it's like, I know what I'm talking about because I've executed these things. I just get in my own way. That's a different conversation.
Okay.
But regardless, it's like, I want to make money, but I don't care for the money. I don't want a mansion. I don't want 10 Ferraris. Yeah. I want to live, like, I even feel like God is calling me to just live a simple life, but with that money, change lives, because money is such a tool in this current society. And that's what I want to do. I feel guilty doing that.
What? So, all right, let's go back to something that you said earlier, and I put it in my mental box.
That's fine.
And we're going to go back to that. And I feel like if we go back to that, we could attack the problem that you have.
Okay.
So you said earlier, you said that I feel like it's a chore to read the word.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's like a battle for you, right?
Yes.
Why don't we open the Bible and see why?
Huh?
Why don't we open the Bible and see why?
Okay, okay.
So I'm going to go to Galatians 5.
Louis, you sure you don't want to be a part of this, bro? I feel.
Oh, I am a part of this.
Okay.
I
don't
gotta say nothing to be a part of this.
Are you sure? Okay.
Trust me. So.
I'm working on the marketing for this episode already.
All right. All right. So Galatians 5, right? Starting at verse 16. You remember what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Repeat what you said.
Okay. It feels like a chore.
It feels like a chore.
Yes.
Reading the word of God.
Yes.
Feels like a chore.
Yes.
It's a battle for you.
Yeah. Right? I don't want it to be.
You don't want. Yeah, all right. Cool. We're going to get to what the Bible says. It says Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, anger, robberies, dissension, and division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. All right. So, I'm going to break down what that means. So, you are flesh.
Right.
Right? Blood, all that
right.
stuff, right? You are flesh. But you believe in God. That means you have the Spirit of God inside you, right? So, the Spirit of God is fighting against your fleshly nature.
Right.
The reason why you feel like it's a chore
mm-hmm.
is because the Spirit of God is telling you, you should be in my word. Like, you got to eat every day, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The word is food to your soul.
Right.
It's food to your spirit.
Right.
So the Spirit of God is telling you, read my word. You're going to grow. You're going to have gentleness. You're going to have peace. You're going to have kindness living inside of you as you engage in the word.
It produces more anger.
Exactly.
For me than
but here's the thing. But the flesh is like, nah.
That's
nah. So now they're combating each other.
Right.
Right. So that's that toggle that you got going on inside of you. So you got to make a conscious decision to do it anyway.
So what happens if you don't have the willpower to make that conscious decision? And then I know the Bible says lean on God for your strength.
Yeah.
But what happens when you lean on God
yeah.
nonstop and yeah. you don't feel like it's giving you the strength, nothing's changing, it's the same dynamic, and you feel alone, left?
You keep doing it. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds good.
I don't understand actually what that means. You keep, like, keep praying?
Fuck that shit.
I mean,
said, it, keep doing it.
You do, you, no, you're good. Like, bad. You, it's like, you know how homies work out?
Yeah.
And they see no results?
Yep.
And 10 years later, oh, shoot, I got abs.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first 8 years, nothing?
Mm-hmm.
You keep doing it.
See, and that is a very... That's a logical response.
Yeah, yeah.
A response in a conversation that I've had with myself.
Yes.
But the complicated thing that I have to, like, what people don't understand
yeah.
is when they sit in my shoes,
yeah.
is which obviously you can't, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
only to the best of what I can describe it.
Yeah.
I literally can't regulate that.
What do you mean?
Like, there are certain things in my life that I can just push past the point of, I don't care if you want to do it, you have to do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. I can't do that with the word of God.
Okay.
It causes me like physical pain and mental and emotional discomfort.
Okay.
To like and it's to the point where it's like sometimes thank you. Sometimes like Appreciate I don't you. Like I can't get myself past that point.
Okay.
And it's like now.
Yes.
So my theory in this
mm-hmm.
is because so this is something that I recently discovered because mm-hmm. I've been going to therapy trying mm-hmm. to work through a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this is not going to make sense at first, but
go
it will
for
type
it.
So like I have an issue with pornography and I have a pornography
yeah.
addiction.
Okay.
And I found it really strange because given the traumatic experiences that I've like, you know, gone through, I'm like,
yeah.
why would then lust be the thing, you know, that I would go to as a coping mechanism?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after being in therapy for a year of specifically trying to tackle this, because I told my therapist from the day one, it's almost been a year,
mm-hmm.
a little bit over a year since mm-hmm. I started seeing her. I was like, I need to get over this addiction, but I feel like there's a huge root in the center of it. There are a lot of little things that come from it, but it ain't the source of the issue. Aside from it's a simple explanation that it's just a battle of the of the flesh, but it's something a little bit more rooted, you know, that's what I've always felt. And what I recently discovered is that because of my traumatic traumatic experiences in my past, I have lived in a state of perpetual survival to this day. And it has served me well because I have been functioning under my own vices and have accomplished a lot of different, what many would identify as success, for lack of better words. I've accomplished that, my definition of success, and my wife and I, we're like, we know, this is before we got married, like, we were good, like, we were moving, like, sure, we needed, we had some hiccups here, but we're like, we figured it out. But it all happened on my own strength, on my own will. And my the reason why I survived the things in my past wasn't, I never felt, wasn't because of God, but it was because of my own, right, my own ability to function through absolute chaos in a calm manner. I never left that state of survival. Now, I thought that I did because a while ago, my wife and I, when we, you know, it's very difficult to be in a relationship with someone that has PTSD, you know, and she knew a lot of the stuff that I've gone through, but she didn't know to the extent. It's one thing to know from a distance. It's another thing to be in the circle of that person going through. It's like a Pandora's box. You open it and everything comes out. So there was a lot of issues that that caused in our relationship at first. And I realized, I was like, man, as great as it is to function through these chaotic situations calmly because of the things that I've gone through, it also is not a good way to live. It, like, my body is just going through constant stress all the time. Like, it's,
and you're making it happen. Right. You're making it work.
No, what do you mean? Making the stress work?
No, like you're able to survive through the chaos.
Right.
And, like, we got to pay this bill. We got to do this.
Yep.
And you just make it. You make it work.
Right. And there was, for the longest time, which she did not like, there was a massive disassociation with my emotional state. Meaning, it was, everything was black and white. And I did not let emotions get in the way. And if I wanted to do something, but I didn't feel like it, it didn't matter because I pushed through it because my emotions were irrelevant. Because emotions for me up to that point never served any purpose. They only caused me more harm.
Yes.
So I became more numb than anything. And I'm like, I can't keep living like this. So over the past, this was about
five. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Are you upset because you can't figure this God thing out in your, by just thinking about it, looking at it rationally? Is that bothering you?
Yes, because I don't know where to go. And so I'm going to pause what we're saying and I'm going to add to that.
Okay.
I said a while ago, actually, probably like in the middle of the summer, I was like, you need to shut up. At some point, you need to shut up and you need to have faith, whether you believe it or not. You just keep doing it. So I try to power through it. But it wasn't like, even something small didn't even feel like it was changing. And it was like that analogy you said. It's like, I felt like the kid going to the gym for 8 years and not noticing any results.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't deal with that. I can't. That causes me so much stress, so much emotional stress, rather. And like, I begin to feel it physically. It makes me physically sick as well, too. And it causes my PTSD to get worse. I'll go lose in sleep. Like, it's a whole host of things that happen.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah, you can ask away. Don't need to ask.
So, what? So, I'm picking up on your personality type, and I have a good friend named Boris, and he's you. You're Boris, right?
Okay.
Like, you like to be in control. You want
to. I don't like to be in control. I hate being in control. I just feel like I need to be in control.
Yeah. You need to be in control.
Okay.
You need to know what's going to happen after the next thing, after the next thing, right?
Even just like a general guideline, like, I, because in my mind, I'm like when I think about the future, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
When I think about the future, I'm like, okay, this is what I like my life to be like in 5 years. Now, I know it's not going to go like that, but it's a general idea and I can pivot and adjust along the way. So go ahead.
How do you feel like you came to faith?
I didn't come to faith. It came to me.
Okay.
So I had the most, I just had a really insane situation happen to me. So I just moved out to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I had a job at working at a restaurant, and that's, you know, my wife also, or well, she was my girlfriend at the time, but she was working at this restaurant as well too.
Okay.
And I just got my own place, and I was like, okay, now I need to get more money. I'm not quite getting enough money from here. So I got a second job working at Giant, which is, you know, grocery store basically here. And I was training for a new store that was opening up. And at that time, my PTSD was at its absolute worst. I was in a different state by myself, my family back in Jersey. I was pretty much the main provider. for income at that time because mm-hmm. my sister had epilepsy, so she ended up developing epilepsy while the baby father, she just had a newborn pretty much, so she lost her license, she lost her job, couldn't provide for her kid. The baby father was a deadbeat. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much the only father figure he's had. My sister, my mom had left us because mm-hmm. she got tired of things and she was dealing with her own demons, so she just picked up and left us with thousands of dollars of unpaid bills. We had to figure out how to do that. Which I ended up figuring out. I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do, which is weird. I had to be the adult when I'm the youngest in the house,
yeah.
minus the kids. So it just, I developed a system and worked well. Now it was the glue for my family. And yeah. to try to, to see the pain that was happening down yeah. there, even though I wasn't there to help, really hurt me, which caused more emotional turmoil for me. So I was struggling with PTSD plus that, and I also was struggling with an immense amount of trust issues with my wife. Nothing that she ever did wrong, but I already brought trust. I brought my baggage to the relationship, which essentially just created it was like a self-induced reality that essentially happened down the road. But okay. Before that happened, so I was like, my PTSD was real, real bad. And I was training for Giant again, and the new store finally opened. And there was one day where I was just an absolute zombie, and I was on lane one okay. out of, I think there was, 10 different lanes. And because it was, there was, a ribbon ceremony and everything, and it was, really weird because it's a grocery store. But, everyone was, lined up, as if it was Black Friday, for a new store opening. It was really busy.
Okay.
Specifically, my line, though, was getting hammered nonstop. Time was flying. Okay. And this random older lady came by. And I'm just making small conversation. Hey, how you doing? How's your day? And she's like, oh, great. And I don't remember the exact words or how it prompted, but she's like, I just feel really good. She's like, my son has had severe PTSD for a very long time. He's been struggling to sleep. He's on the verge of losing his kids, and his marriage was failing. And for many years, I told him, I really think that she even said he's tried an array of things to try to fix it, but I feel like I was losing my son. And she said, I've been trying to get him to at least read the Bible.
Yeah.
And see if that, I told him, I was like, that would make a difference, and all this. And I guess he just had enough and he figured he had nothing to lose. And she's like, he started reading the Bible every night before bed. And he's been doing that for a few months. And she was at the verge of crying. And she was like, he's finally starting to sleep. And I feel like I'm getting my son back. I'm trying not to tear up doing this. And she was explaining how much she feels like she's getting her son back. And at that moment, I'm like, that's such a hyper specific situation.
Yeah.
And at this entire time, we were talking for 15 minutes. Okay. Not a single person came to my line. And when she was done, I got hammered again.
Got it.
And she's like, she looks back. She's like, I thought I was holding up the line. There's no one here. She's like, I guess God must have wanted this conversation to happen. I never forgot that. To this day, I still, when I think about it, yeah. I go back to that moment.
Yeah.
And, it makes me, teary-eyed. Stuff like that kept happening that yeah. made me feel like I needed to go to faith. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I got nothing to lose. So I started doing that. Yeah. And it particularly happened. So these, my best friends that I was talking about earlier from South Carolina, it's Bridget and Trevor. Mm-hmm. They had a much more developed faith than we did. Now, it wasn't perfect. It was what I would called cafeteria Christians, where mm-hmm. they would pick and choose, mm-hmm. but it was better than where we were at, and they're mm-hmm. obviously much better now. Mm-hmm. So they helped us with it, and it was, I became a cafeteria Christian too. I picked and choose. I was like, oh, this and that, yeah. Even with having premarital sex, my wife was the first person that I've ever been with him sexually, but I was like, I know that I'm gonna marry you because I'm that person. It's like, I know what I want. Yeah. I had the ability to lose my virginity many times before. I had a party stage, I had yeah. an alcohol problem, yeah. a bad alcohol problem, and I was drinking underage and stuff like that. And I was doing marijuana and all these different things to fill in the void. And eventually, sometimes something just hit me. And I'm like, I don't want to be in this scene. It's like, everyone's doing the same thing all the time and no one's moving forward.
Yeah.
I put that to the back burner, for lack of better words, and fast forward, I went through the faith route, and it was picking and choosing. And then I just kind of, when I became self-employed is when I really, my faith became a lot stronger. Okay. And it's because I didn't feel like I had the added stress of the world. It was at my own pace.
Okay.
And it was so calming, so peaceful. And that was the first time when I was self-employed that summer, which was, again, I had a vulnerable moment emotionally, and it just got crapped all over, but we'll get into that in a second here. It was the first time that I experienced genuine and authentic gratitude okay. for what I was doing. And I had such...
What were you doing?
Just being self-employed.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was at that particular time, I was door dashing. Okay. But I was doing content creation, and I would supplement my income a little bit extra, you know, here and there, because it was so easy to make extra money then, yeah. You know, so I DoorDash, and I was like, you know, this is just extra money. That's how we were able to make so much money between, you know, I've had sponsorships that pay me, like, you know, they offer me upwards like $15,000 in sponsorships, and okay. And then I had content creation, I had memberships, I had, you know, merchandise, I had like all these different things, but that was just extra money that we were able to bring in. I was like, that's perfect. Plus, okay. We had a wedding to pay for that. Okay. Quickly racked up in price. Now that's, anyways, so like I just remember like the day was beautiful. It felt so good. I remember just seeing the sun, looking at the environment. I'm like, God, like thank you, not just for allowing me to be here, but thank you for giving me the ability to see this beautiful world that you created. Thank you for allowing me to experience what I'm experiencing. Like just like very specifically focused on being having gratitude, okay. And I felt an immense amount of joy. And I wanted to continue to do that, and I did. And I dove deeper and deeper into my faith. But my wife-to-be, felt like it was driving a wedge between us. And there was a little bit of an issue beforehand, and she had cold feet.
Where is she at on her walk now?
She can't go without it.
Okay.
Like me, like so we started the Bible's Guide, and we haven't done it. Okay.
Does she go to church?
Like, no, we've struggled with church because we've had a lot of churches I've gone to, and it's like. Like, even just the first instance, like, this is, I don't know much about the Bible. Mm-hmm. I've read a few books, you know, mm-hmm. out of the library that is the Bible. But a lot of those things, that like, there's sometimes they're preaching about money,
yeah.
But it was, like, not, like, what God wants for money. It was almost like they're trying to push people to donate more, for lack of better
sure,
words. Like,
sure,
and it felt like that. And it just, sometimes, like, it just felt wrong. Now, I know that sometimes, like, that was also the... flesh just kind of, you know, battling the spirit. But we don't belong to a church right now because we've struggled to find a church that just focuses on the teachings of God. So we've been like consuming some of the online churches that live stream and stuff like that. To go back on, so the Bible study, like we started doing the Bible study together, and we would do that every night. And it got to a point like we were very off if we would miss a night. And after my son's birthday, it's just been like nonstop. Chaotic things happening.
Explain to me how. So it sounds like you read your Bible.
I do, but it's on and off now. It's wishy-washy, and I don't like it.
Okay. And you say you have panic attacks when you're getting ready to read it, kind of?
No, it's not. They're not panic attacks. It's like, so
I would walk me through. Like, I give you a Bible right now.
Okay, you give me a Bible right now. Well, if I was at home,
yeah.
And I was reading the Bible, I'd be gladly happy to do it, right? Because my emotional state is in line with my spiritual state.
Okay.
It's when that disalignment happens that I feel like I'm being pulled in two different directions. So like right now, I feel great. I'm definitely gonna read the Bible. I'm gonna get something out of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. My wife and I are probably gonna read it while my son's sick.
But
you know,
you're not in an emotional state.
It's like pulling teeth from me.
Tell you what's funny though, that's when the growth takes place though. So when you don't wanna, read it, cool. It is what it is, mm-hmm. right? But when you don't wanna read it.
I can't even focus when I don't want to read it.
I know, but when you don't want to read it and life, for lack of a better word, sucks.
Yeah.
Right? And you pick it up anyway,
mm-hmm.
that's when you're refreshed.
I don't feel like that.
Yeah, but you will. But you got to make the. I'm telling you, bro, like, I can't. Until you do it, you won't know.
But the thing is
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've done it. Like,
yeah.
I just.
And like, bro, I've had seasons. I for me, right? And so I've been walking with the Lord. Am I good? I've been walking with the Lord, like I said, 13 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
First 5 years, I read the Bible in the morning, hour and a half, 2 hours every day. Every day.
2 hours?
Hour and a half to 2 hours every day.
Oh,
hour and a half to two hours every day. And add a little 30-minute juice before I go to sleep. Right? And then I have my boys, right? I would pick up the phone. Yo, what you doing? You ain't doing nothing? Bro, let's pray. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was on it, bro. On it, my guy. Right?
Right?
This one time, we was at church, and the pastor was just like, not too many people could say they read the Bible every day. No one's going to raise their hand. And I was like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was on it like that. And then I moved out here, and then I went to this school, and then I got married, and it was dry. Telling you, it'd be dry, dude. Like, sometimes I'll go like 2 days, 2-3 days without reading, And it'd just be in life, and like I'm getting into it with my wife, and then yeah. I got bills, and then I'm in school too, and my daughter yelling in the back of my ear, and it's just like, yo, what happened? Like, where did I go wrong? Like, I've been on it. I was killing the game for years. Where did I go wrong? But then, the reality is like. The same God, that the same Bible that I read every day for 5 years is the same Bible, the book that didn't change is me. Mm-hmm. I got distracted.
Right.
You know, I let life get too busy. It's all me. You know? So, like, when I decide to go back and pick it up again, it's like nothing ever changed.
Right. Bro.
It's like nothing ever changed. So, all I could do is tell you, yo, keep reading it and keep going into it and keep surrounding yourself with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the word of God does not come back void.
See, right? That's the like-minded people is probably my biggest issue. There aren't many. Like, the closest people that I feel like that with is probably my best friends, but they're in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And, like, right now, we live with our in-laws.
Yeah.
I'm using this loosely. We bought a house with them.
Yeah.
You know, we moved in with them because I was like, you know, I want to do the best that I can to provide for my family, and cutting our expenses down drastically is going to help out, you know. Mm. So we went from $2,000 a month of living to... You know, now we pay $1,200 a month for everything.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we reduced it by a lot. That's extra money that we have, better life that we can provide for our kid. Plus, you know, he gets to grow up around his grandparents. And I love the idea of that, especially might be the Hispanic in me, that family is everything. But at the same time, they're not the best influence. And I don't want that. I feel like I accidentally box myself in.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want him to continue to live around them. I mean, I don't want to continue to curse. They curse all the time.
And
my mother-in-law is not the problem. It's my father-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, and she or he is, he has his own demons to fight, and he has accomplished a lot in his life, but it's always been through brute force. It's never been through spirituality being in the foundation of everything.
Okay.
It was him more kind of going through the motions of things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like there wasn't a deep-rooted understanding of everything. And that's at least that's what I've gotten from him and being around them. You know, I've been around them my entire life, literally, because I've known my wife my entire life. And then also once I actually moved up, because they extended the help up here. That's how I moved up here, and I've moved in with them. But, you know, now we live together. So we've, over the past, like, 5, 6, 7 years, we've gotten drastically closer, you know, and I've gotten, and he's expressed things to me. And so, like, anyways, regardless, the, you know, like, there are some things, like, from a biblical perspective that, like, my wife and I want to, like, for example, debt.
Yeah.
Never, neither be a lender nor a borrower, you know.
Don't be a slave to the lender.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, they don't, they think that debt is something you're always going to have. And I'm like, it doesn't need to be that way. I'm ashamed to say this, but like this is, goes back to the bad business decisions. You know, I had served the lawsuit a while ago, and regardless, it got resolved. But I lost everything that I had. You know, I had stocks, I had investments, I was in a good foundational place moving forward. 2021, the year that my wife and I got married, was pretty much the last year that we ever saw that kind of income, and it didn't last very long. And that's because I was serving money.
Yeah.
You know, but regardless, now my wife and I are in the understanding that. We don't need debt, you know, and like, sure, we play the credit card game, but with stuff that we play with the credit card game is like it's money that's already accounted for.
Yeah.
You know, like just we're literally just playing the game because it makes things better for down the road. But it's like we're not, you know, we owe debt to them and we're trying to pay it off. We're getting to that point. And like they just don't believe that we can live a life without being debt free. Okay. And it's like the house is one thing. Obviously, it's realistic. It's a little bit unrealistic for most people to gather that kind of money. But like it's one of those, like that's just an example, you know, or like for another one is, you know, the father's supposed to leave the house.
Yeah.
He's like, and you know, I've had a conversation with her. It's like, I want to leave. I can lead.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do I lead without putting your daughter in the center? Because you guys are going to have your 2 cents, even though she's going to trust me, you know, but she doesn't want to be condescender because it's not her responsibility to be condescender. It's my job. Yeah. It's my job to be a guiding force with God as my foundation to lead my family and do what's best for them. You know, even if that means that may not be good for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so South Carolina's an example.
Yeah.
What if moving down to South Carolina is going to strengthen my spirituality because I'm surrounded by people that have the same foundation that I have and have the same goals in their lives that I do in terms of developing a deep faith walk with God. And maybe that's an extreme, you know, but I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah.
They're going to be upset because now we're moving from the house that they sold everything to buy to get closer with their grandkid.
Okay. Did you, first of all, your word is your bond. Yeah. Right? Did you agree to stay?
To?
Where are you at?
Not forever.
For a limited period of time.
Yeah, I mean,
if God called you, take away all the details. If God calls you to go somewhere for the purpose of glorifying him, then you go.
I don't know. I become too much of the peacekeeper.
Since I
have allowed the, when I opened that Pandora's box of my emotional state and actually started to feel the both good and the bad of emotions instead of just being kind of numb, for lack of better words, like once I started to get out of sorrow mode, I became too much, I don't want to say people pleaser, but the, I guess people pleaser, the peacekeeper, because it's like sometimes it's just not worth the energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I could sit there and I can't have this logical conversation with them because they're just going to be
emotional.
Right. You know what I mean? And it's like they get like real frustrated and it's like, but like they're the type of person that they'll tell us to do one thing and then you do it and just kind of damn if you do, damn if you don't, but they don't realize that they're doing it. Like their intentions and their heart is genuinely in the right place, but the way they go about it is an issue.
Got it. So, but when it comes to everything that you're saying, bro, and I'm going to go back to this.
No, you're good.
I'm going to sound like
a broken record.
A broken record, bro. Like, first of all, like-minded people is good. And I did say that.
Mm-hmm.
I did say that. But if you put Christ first,
mm-hmm.
he will make those like-minded people. How do you know I'm not a like-minded person? Right? If you put Christ first, right? If you take away, like the details, like the financial stuff, the family stuff, and you just say, "Yo, God, like I need help."
I have done that so much stuff.
I just need help, right? And I need to be in your word. And I know, like, bro, you're doing this,
and nothing's happening. And
nothing happened. Well, keep letting nothing happen, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, because you want it to have. We live in a microwave generation. You want to just put it, and I'm not attacking.
Well, no. But I understand what you're saying, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Like you probably want God, put it in the microwave, make it happen. Well, God, for some odd reason, I was listening to somebody. God likes to take his time, bro. He really likes to take his time. God is like a slow cooker. Mm. Not a microwave. He's a slow cooker.
Yeah, but when you get food from a slow cooker versus a microwave, it's damn good.
It's good. So I'm saying, like, there's something about the waiting process that changes the character of the person. And sometimes it's not necessarily the situation God changes. It's the person. The perspective,
right? Well, that happened to us when we started reading the Bible.
Exactly.
We were right before we got that Bible guide.
Yeah.
We were having a lot of issues in the house with tension.
Yeah.
We started reading that Bible guide. And I'm like, I don't know if they're. That's how we realized. Like, I don't think their heart's in the bad place. It's just realistically speaking,
right.
You know.
So let me challenge you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Let me challenge you, right? And I will come back to the podcast.
But pause that challenge real quick.
Okay.
I want to say something back on the microwave thing.
Yeah.
I want to make before I forget it. Like, I guess the issue that I have with it, because in the Bible, is it Gideon's fleece? Is what it is?
Yeah.
You know, he heard like God's voice talking to him, and it's like, yeah, God, if this is really you, then you know, do. And he did the thing, and it's like, why?
All right, Pat. Let's when you open scripture, and I'm glad that you said that. So when you open scripture, you see mad miracles, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But what people don't realize, those miracles don't happen until thousands of years apart of one another, bro.
But how do we not know that? How do we know that, bro?
What do you mean?
Like, how do we know the time frame?
So, if you read the scripture's very, like, so Gideon was a tribe of Benjamin, I can't remember. But, like, the people, if you go to the book of Judges, they were locked up for, like, 300 years before that Gideon episode happened, bro.
So, it's kind of cutting out the stuff in between.
Yeah, it'll be like, this happened. This guy died. And they were enslaved for 40 years. And then Gideon did this, right? So we tend to think that, oh, in the Bible, miracles happen. Why did it not happen now? But what people don't realize is it'll be a miracle. 30 years later, a miracle.
Mm.
300 years later,
right.
A miracle. So God is working at it. You know when you go to the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll, the book of Micah.
God.
And then it'll go to the book of Matthew, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's literally, it's called the intertestamental period.
Cut like, water down my sleeve.
It's called the intertestamental period, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like 500 years, bro. One page. 500 years, bro. You don't even think about that.
No,
that's like 500 years.
Yeah, bro.
That's like 500 years, bro. So these things aren't happening. Bang, 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 bang. It's bang. Wait. Bang. So, like, you had your miracle in that grocery store. And you want another one to happen yesterday.
And the reality is, you might not get another miracle until you're like 80, bro.
Dude, see,
and it might you might have little stuff happens, but the, like I didn't share this with you. I think I did. I'm not sure. So anyway, when I came to faith, I was on my deathbed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was on my deathbed, bro. I lost my mind. Totally lost my mind. I'm talking about demon possessed. Lost my mind. Lost it. I skipped that part. Lost it. I was gone. Right? Like I tried to kill my mom, bro. Yeah, bro. Yeah. Like straight gone. Like I'm out of
that's
there,
a, not to that extent, but sometimes I feel like this would be driving me crazy.
Crazy, bro. You see those people that lost? You know the guy in the cave?
Yeah.
In the Bible?
Yeah.
The demon?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm on my bed. And I look outside the window, and I'm fully mentally out. I'm not here, right? And I look at my window, and where the sun should have been, the sun was not there. The sun was not there, bro. It was not, right? And where the sun should have been, I saw heaven, bro. I saw it. I could describe to you the dimensions. It was a floating castle in the sky. It was beautiful. It was covered in diamonds, and it was gold, and it was white. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And in that moment, I was immediately healed. I went to the psychiatrist the next day. He said nothing was wrong with you. I never took medication, never anything. Mind you, I tried to kill my mom and my dad, bro. Fully restored. Went back to school, got my life together. Fully restored. That's the only miracle I've ever had. Nothing like that has ever happened again. That was 13 years ago, bro.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, these things.
So,
like,
I'm going to give you, this is a perfect example. I'm going to give you, we're going to take you through my mental state right now.
Okay.
So, let's say that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, myself, mm-hmm. plays devil's advocate. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe that was just because your mental state at that time, you were hallucinating and seeing something. How do you know that wasn't because of your mental state at that time and you just thought that it was? And now.
Because the scriptures actually corroborate with what I see.
Ah. And you never read the Bible
and
at that point.
The Bible
at see, ah, but that's an important detail, though.
Yeah,
that's an important detail.
Actually, what I see.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. See, I, but to go back in the miracles, I don't want a miracle, and I know that's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. I just want,
You want action. You want something to happen.
I want to know what my next step is. Like, I just need to know what the next step is.
All right, boom. I'm going to tell you what the next step is.
Read the Bible.
God is telling you the next step right now.
Read the Bible.
No, that's a good one. No. So, the Bible, Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the substance of things unseen. So if I tell Carlos, yo, here's a check for $1 million, and he takes it, right? Carlos knows he could go to the store right now and buy grilled cheese for his entire extended family. Do you have the cash in your hand?
No.
Carlos, do you have the cash in your hand? No.
Right.
He does not have the cash in his hand. But why does he believe that he could go do that?
Because he has faith in you that you're...
Because he believed that that check that I gave him is good. Right. You don't have the cash.
Right.
But he has the faith. So God has given you evidence. So faith, therefore, is evidence.
Right.
The evidence is check.
Right.
The physical money is in the bank.
Right.
But the evidence is the check. The faith is the check.
Right.
So you have the evidence. You've already seen God work in your life. You've already seen the miracle in the grocery store. Right, I'm a living, breathing miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the greatest miracle, right? So you don't need to know what's going to happen next. You already have the evidence.
I don't know what that means aside from, okay, does that mean that I just fully commit to the word of God?
That means you fully commit to God and you trust him for tomorrow. Because you've already...
That scares
he's
me.
Already been
See, and that's the submiss. That's the submissiveness that I've been struggling with because I have no idea what it means to be submissive.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
I like how do I how can I expect this is gonna submissiveness is when I say this is obviously you know not like she's my slave but it's like how can my wife be submissive to me if I don't know how to be submissive to God?
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And I don't mean obviously you know how I mean
yeah,
submissive.
I
just feel
exactly
like I gotta explain
mean.
It for those listening. You know, I don't mean submissiveness in the sense
follow
of
follow
like,
your leadership.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So it's like. I want that, and I feel like I'm being called to do that, but, like, I have just been struggling because I have these big existential questions that I think are pretty normal for
mm-hmm.
most people to, but I've not had anyone that I can sit and ask them to that doesn't give me an answer that I already don't know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's why
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's something more.
So you get to a point in which God has given you the answers, and you know the answers. You just kind of got to walk over the ledge and expect a piece of rock to just appear, bro.
That's terrifying. It's
like
so terrifying.
But that's what faith is. He's already provided the mountain in the back. You've already been taking those steps. The mountain has magically been appearing. And he's already been doing it. He's gotten you this far.
Dude, it's literally like when, you know, when he told his disciples
just
to Peter.
Walk. Just walk. And even if you look away and drown, he's going to pick you up anyway. So, man.
I think that's the part, because I feel like I've seen so many people around me. Now, this might be the comparison, the envy part or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And there's a part of me that's like, I think that you can do great things, and I truly do believe that, but I don't believe that he can do that in my life. And now where it goes back into, well, the gratitude can solve that.
How about you try him?
What do you mean?
You said you believe he could do great things. He could do great things in anybody else's life, but you don't think he could do it in yours, right?
Right. Well, I mean, he's already done it. But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, and that. So then the issue that I have is like, okay, do I reduce everything to that microscopic of a level? Meaning, I'm just like, when I say I don't care about money, I know that I need it for today's society. But at my core, taking everyone else's voices out, everything, all the external influences, the materialistic thing. Do you know what I really care about?
Mm-hmm.
Two things, three things, really.
Yeah.
The first thing being that I have a healthy marriage, healthy wife, healthy kid.
Yeah.
And that I am just... Oh, yeah, I'm going to run to mine, too. That I just have... That I am just there with my kid, and I get to tuck him in at night. Do you know how many things could have gone wrong when my... We almost lost our son. Okay. The day that my wife went into labor, she was induced.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? She took the epidural when she was eight centimeters dilated. So pretty much he was already out, but she was struggling. So she took the epidural because she couldn't handle the pain, right? She fell asleep for the first time in like 24 hours.
Okay.
And in that moment, because of how she was laying, he completely lost his heartbeat. So they came rushing in while we were sleeping, and they did the things to make sure to flip her over and everything. And at that time, like, I was terrified. I was like, we could have lost him. And then after I watched her give birth and the entire process of recovery, it looked like someone got murdered, but they're like, oh no, this is completely normal. This is, you know, like, I sat there and I'm like, you know how many things could have gone wrong to both my child and my wife in the process of labor?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thankful that I'm here. And just having that gratitude, I almost, for lack of a better word, it's like, as a byproduct, I forgive the wrong that my wife has done, because I don't care, because I'm just thankful. If I was in my deathbed, I just want another day with my wife. I don't care about money. I don't care about nothing. I don't care about my job. I just wish that I had another day with my wife and my son if I was in my deathbed. That's the one thing. The other thing is that I continue to share what God has provided for in my life to other people, and that I can continue to help.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Do it.
So basically, the thing that you care for about the most is your family,
mm-hmm.
right? And sharing that story.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a curveball,
mm-hmm.
right? If God took away your family right now and silenced you,
I thought about that. Job, the story of Job.
He would still be good, bro.
That terrifies me. That terrifies me. That like, to the point where, like,
no, it terrifies me. I love my wife. Right? I love my daughter. But if he took my wife and my daughter away, that would be the worst thing that could happen to me. My daughter, my wife, and my mom. He would still be good. The reason why he would still be good is this. You gotta understand, bro. God is infinite, bro. We, in comparison to him, we're roaches.
Mm-hmm.
We are peons. We are nothing. In comparison to Big G God,
right?
We are nothing. Yet, he chose to become nothing, right? And allow us to kill him.
Right.
So that we could have relationship with him.
Right.
Right. That level of divine love is incomprehensible to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can't.
It's incomprehensible to anyone.
Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? I can't.
There's no strings attached.
No. Right.
Right.
No.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so God. So that's like you being a fully intelligent man decides, you know what? I'm going to become a roach. I'm going to let roaches kill me.
Right.
Right. So that they could have an eternity of life with me,
mm-hmm.
and have understanding and have joy and have peace and have riches that they don't even fathom.
Right.
Right. A roast does not know what a vacation is.
Right.
You
right.
get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
So if God, who is infinitely great, can show infinite love to me. That means if he takes away my kid and my wife and everything, I know, even though at this moment it sucks, it's for his glory and for my good.
And that's terrifying.
That's terrifying. But it's true.
And I thought about that as well. And believe it or not, I had mentioned that to someone else.
Yeah.
And that exact same scenario, I was like, well, think about it. It's like if he took that away and there are your foundations, it's like you're going to be shook. You're going to lose who you are.
Yeah.
Because you have nothing that's steadfast, nothing that is everlasting. And that's what God is. And I was sitting there and I was telling him that. And like even myself, like I know this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there and I was like, you know, I feel like if should that happen.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because I've strayed away from God in a way that.
You put too much pressure on yourself. That's not true.
What do you mean?
Joe didn't stray.
That is true.
Joe did not stray.
Yeah, but why would why would God allow that to happen? Because he was testing him.
No, not even, bro. Not even. He wasn't really testing him. God allowed these things because remember you said, why does bad things happen? You remember that?
Yeah.
Once again, I'm not attacking you.
No.
Who are you to say anything to God, bro?
Well, if we are his creations and we're his children, should a father, should a son, a child of a kid, or yeah, of a parent, or yes, I guess in this case, a father,
yes,
being,
yes,
should
yes,
he not be able to confide in them? Meaning yes, I should be able to bring these things to you.
You should be able to bring these things to you. But the analogy breaks down at some point, right? You can say, God, this hurts. God, I don't understand. God, comfort me. God, I need your help because you're my parents. But you cannot say, why are you doing this? He's God. He can do whatever he wants.
But how do we know that's from God and not some like a demonic entity taking that away from us?
Because even the demons belong to God.
Right. In well, that is true. In the book of Job.
Even the devil had to ask
God for permission to be able to. Yeah,
so
right.
People always paint this picture as if, you know, the good versus evil. No, bro. God is on the throne. The devil is a dog somewhere, and he controls. And God, I'm sorry. And God controls the narrative.
Right.
God controls this whole situation. God is in control of kids starving in Africa right now. God
How?
Is in control of my mom who has schizophrenia. God is in control of my broken relationship with my brother. God is in control of all of it. And at the end, guess what? We're going to sit in front of God, and we're going to say, you was right, we was wrong, you had a plan, we just didn't understand it.
There's so much that I want to attack there, though. Not attack in
a negative
way.
No, let's go for it.
Way.
Go
like,
for it.
Like debate, for lack of better words,
go
because
for
it's
it.
Like, if God is in charge of those things,
he's in charge of everything.
He's in charge of everything, but let's just, so he's in charge of the negative things that also happen
everything,
as well, too.
Everything.
Right. Why would he continue to allow it to happen? Even to someone who may have been like committed to God.
Okay, so the question could then be said. Oh, please. Did Job's story not end well?
Yes, it did. I think I just ended. If I remember, I think that was the last thing he gave. He brought back.
Yeah. How many? I can't remember. Let's just throw a number out there. Job had 8 kids, right?
Yeah.
Job had 8 kids, yeah, right? And you remember at the end of the story, the Bible said that God gave Job 2 more, double as what he lost. So let's just say he had 10,000 cows.
He got 20,000 cows. Yeah, right.
Let's say, you remember, if he had 100 acres, he had 200 acres.
Right.
But then at the end, he only had 8 kids.
Right.
But did he?
I don't know.
He lost 8 kids. I'm saying 8 with Bible geniuses out there. I'm probably wrong. I'm just throwing a number out there. So he lost 8 kids, right? And then at the end, he had 8 kids. Is that double?
No.
That's just 8, right?
Right.
Yeah, but God had 8. Job has 8 kids waiting for him in glory. Right?
Those are earthly kids.
Yeah, right? So he had 8 new kids, and he had 8 heavenly kids. So at the
Did
end
Job
of it.
Did Job get new kids or his old kids back?
No, his old kids is dead.
I wasn't sure if he brought them back.
No, they all died, right?
That's sad.
Right? It is sad. But then he got 8 new kids. And he got double of everything, but when he dies, he's going to have in total 16 kids.
Right, when he
right?
goes up, he goes
right?
up.
So God gave him double everything. And guess what? People always talk about the story of Job, right? But guess what Job did not ever get?
I don't know.
Why? God never answers that question. God never answers.
Because he just has faith enough to know that God is acting for the greater good.
Yeah, and now we got something. All of humanity
has something to fall back on. We have the story of Job. So when my granddad is dying and I'm speaking at his funeral, mm-hmm. I know that God is behind all this and there's a greater purpose, right? When I'm struggling, I know God is behind all this and there's a greater from Job's story. Job had no idea that he was going to affect me. He was going
to
affect
I'm
you.
I'm selfish. I think I'm selfish though because like specifically, I don't want anything to happen to my wife and my kids. And if you're telling me that there's even the slightest chances that could happen, I would almost want to turn away the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Like that's that. Like, how are you gonna bless us with that and then take it away?
Okay.
Like that's how selfish I guess I am.
So he's giving you and I, bro. I appreciate and I love your honesty, right? And the fact that you could freely share that is honorable. Like, who wants to lose their wife and kids? Bro, I'm not saying. Trust me, I'm not telling you to be here. Oh, no, be okay with losing your wife. And kids. No, that's not what I'm saying. But
right.
What I'm saying is, he's in control, and if anything like that does happen, right, you won't know why. But in the grand scheme of things, it is good. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's in the grand scheme of God's sovereignty, you got to understand the reason why it is good is because, so you know how people say God is good?
Mm-hmm.
So the word, I'm using my grammar here.
It's okay.
So God is not, good is not an attribute of God. So here's a better way to say it. So I could say like I'm good at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Or like so basically is a skill that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Good is not just something that God does or stuff. God, the essence of who he is good. That means he can't do bad.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right. Like there's no other option.
Yeah. So like when people say God is love, we're not saying God is a loving God. No, is love gets its
He's
definition.
A just God.
Yeah, but like good is defined by God.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Or
right.
Love is defined
by God.
By God.
All things good are defined by God.
So he's the foundation. Like truth. You remember how Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?"
Yes.
That was ironic because truth was staring at him. In the
right,
face.
Right, right.
Right, right. So what I'm saying is if all of this that we see here, right? Ultimately, even though there's death, there's chaos, there's suffering, these things are bad, right? But in the foundation of it all, it's good because God is behind ultimately all of it. And it cannot be bad. It cannot. You get what I'm saying? You cannot attribute bad to God. You get what I'm saying?
I do, but then immediately my mind is like, dude, there are innocent children that are dying and have died because of at the hands of purely evil people that God has allowed to happen on this, to put on this earth, and that hurts me,
and
makes saddens me,
and it should. And but why are you saddened? Because God gave you a conscience,
right?
And this is good. And those people who got away with it, guess what? They're gonna stand before the judgment seat of God, and that is good. And those people who are suffering, guess what? The Bible says they will be comforted, and that is good.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Ultimately, what I'm saying is like there is the obvious that we see. But there is an eternal.
There's more than we
picture
see, right?
Here. So you know how you is it? You ever seen those pictures where you see a guy's eye and you see somebody's face and then you see like a hand and then you step back
and it looks
country.
Something. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
So in all of this darkness and all of the hatred of man and all of the sin and the murder and the rape and all of this, you step back and you see God's hand. And then you will be like, praise his holy name.
I haven't gotten there yet.
And you will.
I hope that's, yeah.
And you will. I believe that you will.
It's just so, it's so hard to conceptualize a lot of these, a lot of what this is. I mean, we can't think that way because we'd be God, you know?
No, but the Bible tells us to. Actually.
No, I mean like,
yeah.
Sorry, let me elaborate a little bit more on that. Meaning like, I want to figure out why or how these things happen, or I want to understand it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't, because should you understand it, you're going to see the grand, like the bigger picture, which is a godly picture.
Yeah.
You know, like that's his power. You know, like that's only he could do that because only he can tolerate that? I guess, no, there's a better word than that, but like only he is going to be able to handle the bigger picture. It's like we with our humanly mind cannot.
You can't fathom it.
Right,
no,
yeah.
No, you cannot fathom
and like, that's, yeah, see, I get to a point where I try to control so many things, I call it that I'm trying to play God.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the beautiful thing is it tells us to put on the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us to put on
the mind of Christ. Christ. Okay.
And ultimately, the mind of Christ is a very simple thing. Submitting.
Boil down to a lot of simple things.
Yeah. Submitting.
Maybe
to
it
God
is that
will.
Simple then, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You it is, bro. It's the thing is like it's so simple that it's just like it can't be this simple.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's how it feels. Yeah. Like you're almost kind of waiting for the other foot to drop. You know?
It ain't gonna drop, bro. Right. It ain't gonna
and
drop.
I can't comprehend that, dude. Even to this day, man, there's like if it's little things or bigger things, there's always something that happens. It's like something good happens, then something bad happens.
Yeah,
like that's my entire life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like it sucks. It stresses me out. Like I'm tired of feeling the way that I feel. I am exhausted.
Yeah.
I am emotionally spent. I am not in the moment as I know that I can be, and I am in no way, shape, or form functioning to the capabilities that I know God has blessed me with.
Okay.
And that hurts me because I am such a strong person. Like, I genuinely believe in trying to be the best version of yourself you possibly can.
I agree.
And everyone should strive for that.
I agree.
I think that if, like, right now, like, everyone wants to blame the right, the left, the corporates. It's like, no. If we focus on an individual level first, I was like, if you give it 10 years and everyone did that, imagine it would be a completely different world.
Agreed.
Then that's I want to focus on the individual, hence why I throw all my garbage out there, because it's like I don't want people to suffer in silence, because when you suffer in silence, then these negative, bigger questions like I have and then some, you know, they come up to mind. And it's like the blind leading the blind almost. Like you don't know what you're doing wrong. Like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like to share that out there and see, like express specifically the things that have helped me overcome these things. Like, I think that can make a positive influence in someone's life. And ultimately, even whether I deny it or not, it has been God that has allowed these things to happen in my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to turn them into a good thing for other people. And my issue is like, what do I do? What else do I do with it? Or do I just keep doing what I'm doing? Is it just that simple? You know, do I not strive to make more money for my family, you know, because that's not important? Do I continue like to just be where I'm at, continue to work in the way that I'm working, regardless of what my in-laws may say or what this person might say? Do I continue to just, because I feel like God wants me to be here, and I don't know if he wants me to be here to learn something. I don't know his reasoning.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I stopped trying to figure out even the reason why I got hired at FedEx. Like I was choosing between FedEx and something else.
Yeah.
And like, the reason why I chose it, because I was like, no, I feel like God is calling me to be there. And the rate that I was making when I was hired there, I was hired full time, was absolute garbage.
Okay.
And it was like, I can't, like, if this is what he wants me to do, I'm going to do it, you know? And I did that. And what has happened? I mean, shortly after him and I linked up, and it's like, do you know, since I've been there, the amount of people that you will look from the outside, you're like, well, I don't want to miss that person, that work at FedEx, and have openly expressed to me, and I'm the only person that they've ever told to, that they have been sexually abused and have kept it in silence. And they like to hear left and right from these people how much I'm able to impact them, and people trust me, and I don't do anything with that information. I just want to help. I want to help with the deepest extent of my soul.
Yeah,
you know. What do I do with that, though? Because helping is not going to pay my bills. When helping is getting to a point that is like the time that it requires to help is taken away from something else that can further my family, further secure my family financially, because we've had, like, I don't want to put money first, but like, again, I feel like I have to. And it's like, you know, like, yeah, right now we're making, you know, what we need, and we're able to put a little bit away, but it's like we're on the edge.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could be doing more.
Yeah.
But if I do more, then I'm missing out on a million other things. So I've been making decisions since I got here, left and right, because I'm like, okay, maybe I need to do this, or maybe I need to do that, or no, maybe I need to do this. And it's like all of which continue to fail back to back to back. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's not what God wanted me to do. And then I sit there and I'm like, okay, I put God first. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? And I pray day in and day out, left and right. And it's like, I don't get an answer. I was like, okay, so is getting an answer mean that I go forward or that I don't go forward? And it's like, how do you decipher that? How do you discern that difference? And it's like, that right there, everything that I just said, like, that's my current issue with why, like, almost why I don't want to continue reading the Bible. And it's like, why it feels like a chore, you know? And it's like, I know that it's transformative. I know that it feels good. And I know that it feels like a chore as well, too, because, like, I have the tendency to want to control things because of my past. Like, there's a lot that contribute to that. But that's, like, my biggest struggle. And I don't know what to do with it. Like, what's next?
Keep praying. I mean, bro, like I'm like, you really, bro.
Look at you, like, yeah, I gotta say,
bro, like, it's
so frustrating to hear.
I know it's like
you know, I used to work out and people are like, oh, you need to eat more. Really? Like, if I could eat more, I would.
Yo, bro, I just got out of a 5-year darkness, bro. I just came out of a 5-year darkness, probably like a few months ago, bro. Yeah. So basically, like, so obviously I still walk with God and, like, God is working in my life. But, like, for about 5 years, I was just like, yo, what's the purpose of my life, bro? What is the purpose? Like, why am I here, God? Like I know, like, my purpose is to serve you, but how do I express that? Like, how do I do that, right? And for 5 years, remember I told you, for the first 5 years, I was really going hard. And, like, for 5-6 years, I'm just like, yo, bro, like, nothing has happened. And then one guy said to me, this old dude, right? And, like, he's not, we just disagree on so many levels, on so many things, but God will use that one person who you disagree with on so many levels to just snap you back into reality, right? He said, yo, stop looking in the past. Why don't you focus on the future? Because if you look in the past, that's when you have a midlife crisis.
But when I focus on the future, it causes me stress.
No, he actually said, start looking at today.
Oh,
he actually said, and then he says, when you look at the past, it'll give you a midlife crisis. And to me, that's not profound. That just makes sense.
Common sense, yeah, right. Yeah.
It just makes sense. But it just hit me different.
Right.
And then I was just like,
oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense. Like, because I kept looking at those first few years of walking with God, and I was idolizing that, right? And then I'm just like, yo, why don't I think about walking with God today?
Ooh, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, let me just walk with God today and let me try to walk with God tomorrow.
I have idolized my past.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've lifted my past up and I know what you're talking. So, and now
which makes the present makes me feel like a failure.
Yeah. And then, so after that, things just got better. Like, but it took me 5 years of saying, yo, God, what's up? Yo, God, I need help. Yo, God, it was good. I'm like, well, God, I used to be doing this, but I'm not doing this anymore. Yo, God, yo, God.
Do you ever, so like,
so ahead, that's why ahead, I keep saying, just pray.
Right.
Or just read your Bible. Because I just came out of a 5-year frustration period. And I don't want to call it darkness. I take that back. It's not darkness. I live in light. I live in light. But I just came out of a 5-year stagnant frustration period.
Yeah.
But in that frustration period, I developed a bunch of skills that I didn't even know I had.
Dang.
And God was working in me. And things was happening. And I didn't know. I just was blind to see it. So God is doing all this work. Homie gave me that word, opened my eyes. And I'm like, oh, shoot, this is where I'm at. All right, let's go.
Right. Right?
So I can't speak to your situation specifically.
Right.
But I can tell
relate
you.
Relate 100.
And I can say, I promise you, bro, God is moving.
I don't disagree. But it's like, there's always a but with me, and that's my issue. And like right now, my mind is absolute chaos. Like, the best way that I describe my mind, imagine being in New York City and you're in Times Square.
Yeah.
And like, you're in the center of Times Square.
Yeah.
And you're trying to keep track of every single person that goes by you. That's my mind. I don't try to be like that. That's how exhausting it is. I don't, like, I pick things up, I analyze them. Like, it's just like my nature.
Yeah.
Which is why consultation works well for me, because I can do that for someone else. But I'm exhausted of doing that, right? So that's why I went back to, like, gratitude. It's like, okay, I know that if I'm gratitude and I'm grateful for what's in the moment right at that time, I can it's like a night and day. Like, I can flip a switch, and that's how quick the difference is.
Yeah.
You know, but it almost just feels too easy. That sounds
easy. Sounds fun to me, bro.
I don't know.
if God has given you that, like, why fight against it?
Because it would, so take my past into consideration.
Yeah.
That when you view things through my past and your brain has worked a specific way for such a long time, like you're trying to find you're trying to fight that. Yeah. And I don't know how to fight it, and it's like I don't know how to just accept it. Like right now, my biggest stress in my life is because there's nothing going on, okay. Which is great. Like,
that's good.
No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic, but it stresses me out. Okay. It stresses me out. So, this is the recent discovery
but then
that I made.
Say, God, thank you.
And I'm trying to do that. I'm
thank
trying
that
to.
I'm not, thank you that nothing's going on.
Right.
Thank you that I'm at peace with
and God. And it's like, that's what I need to do because there's going to be low points where I'm going to wish that I had. Yeah. I was back here because I've been there. We just came out through a very, like, the past year and a half has been a blessing, especially with my son, with my marriage. I get to heal a part of my life.
Yeah.
That I never thought I'd get healing from. I understand God's love more than I ever have when I became a father. Because I understand how much more, like what a father's willing to do for the children to save them, to put him first, to continue to be there for them through my son. Because I love him genuinely and unconditionally with every ounce of my being. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that just because I love him that I'm going to accept things that he might do down the road. Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure. Like, they're two kind of different things. But I know that usually people think they're like mutually exclusive.
They're not.
Right. But like, it's been transformative in that aspect. But in that transformation, my life has settled down. Like, sure, I'm not making the money that I was before, but all of our bills are getting paid. Our debt's getting taken care of. Yeah. We have a roof over our head. We just came from a trip down to South Carolina that we never would have been. You know when was the last time we took a vacation? 2017. And I couldn't even afford to go on that vacation. Part of that ticket was paid by my freak.
But we could go even further, bro. You got your 10 fingers and your 10 toes. The sky is
right,
out.
Right. I can see. I'm capable. So the house that we live in now, the entire upstairs is about 1,000 square feet. That's where we live at right now.
Beautiful.
All of it. Needed to be renovated. I could.
And it all got done.
I did it. I did it myself.
Praise God.
And I sat there. I remember there was a room probably like twice this size. There's technically three bedrooms upstairs, but there's the master bedroom and then there's one room up here. And it's about twice the size, but it all had plaster that needed to come down. Mm-hmm. And it needed to be fixed. And I was like, okay, well, what are my options? So I found the studs back then. You know, studs were 16 inches apart instead of 12 inches. So we put drywall up.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there looking, and I was just so stressed out after my friend had left, and he came in and helped me hung this. Because while, mind you, I was working at FedEx, I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work, and then I'd come straight over here, then I work for, you know, till 11 o'clock at night, I drive an hour back home, I was functioning like 4 hours of sleep for about four and a half months, right? Mm-hmm. And I was getting all of this done, I was exhausted, I was tired, but at the same time, my wife pretty much didn't do anything aside from take care of her kids, which is the biggest thing, and I don't mean do anything. Like, she didn't help me renovate because
she was taking care of her responsibilities as a wife and a mother.
And my father-in-law, he was also simultaneously working on the house. We were addicts, so we added a bathroom. We also added a laundry room. So he was doing that downstairs while I was working an entire upstairs with absolutely no freaking money, pretty much living paycheck to paycheck because our cost of living, like, it was getting figured out. But regardless, I remember sitting one day specifically, and this room was a mess. There was, you know, the demolition was still in the room.
Yeah.
There's drywall that needed to be up. And I remember crying. And I'm like, God, help me. Help me. And as I'm sitting there, putting everything up within the, like, later on that week, I sat there and I'm like, thank you, God. Like, I was so proud of myself for what I did and how well that I did it, that I'm like, thank you for just making me able-bodied enough to be able to do this. And like that reduction.
Yeah.
I can do that in my life fairly easily. And it is a great thing to have.
But it's too easy.
Right.
But, okay, so, like, first of all, that is beautiful.
Yeah, thank
beautiful.
You.
So in the scriptures, right, in the Old Testament, God would make Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, every time he would do something, he would build an altar.
Okay.
Build an altar.
Okay. Right?
And then eventually to the children of Israel, before they got to their land, and he was moving them around for those 40 years, they would build an altar. And then they would say, why are we doing this? And he would be like, so when your kids' kids see this altar and they ask you, why is this altar here? You can say to them, because this is what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And those altars were for the purpose of remembering. Because when you remember, that glorifies God.
Right.
What are the two... What are the two communions that Jesus gave us? Sacraments. Baptism.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
I've not been baptized yet.
Baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
Right.
So that gift of remembrance that I gave you, that gratitude, that is not something to be taken lightly. If it's too easy, praise God, bro.
Right, right.
You know, like, that's good. That's a good thing to have. Because me, as a lot of Christians, like, I get caught up in, dang, I wish this was happening. I wish this was happening. Why this is not happening? And then is when it when God smacked me across the head and I stopped and I'm like, man, thank God I got rain. Because just without rain, there wouldn't be food.
Right.
And without food, your boy would be a little bit more skinnier than he is right now.
I shouldn't. I mean? And when I say that, like, it's simple, like, it's not simple, like, I don't know, maybe easy.
But
it
seems easy, but, like, it's beautiful, bro.
Yeah, that is true. I guess I'm not used to just
accepting
it. I mean, but the reality is, too, if, like, when I sit here, as I'm talking about this, like, look also the crap that I've been through the past 5 years to get to this point. You know, like, that was the dark period. Even though I didn't feel like I was in the dark period, and it meant, like, that because of everything that I went through the past 5 years is what's allowed me to develop that mentality.
Pause. And that is the step back moment when you say, God is good.
Amen to that.
Of all that chaos. You remember? You remember?
I don't need to remember. I feel it.
You feel me? So you remember I was like, yo, you're like, all this bad stuff happening. And you take a step back. That step back.
It's that gratitude. Reflection. Right, yeah. Right. Yep. That yep. That's that and gratitude. That's.
But it takes you how long? 5 years.
Yeah, it's 2018 specifically is when that's when it all started, and it's been transformative in more ways than one. I mean, I never thought. Listen, when I was in 2018, I was going to school for electrical engineering.
Yeah,
and let's see, I still have about maybe now because it's might have changed, but at the time that I dropped out of college, I had 3 semesters left with my engineering degree, right? And I dropped out of. I could have gotten a job starting off at $60,000 a year with just my associates in electronic engineering technology, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it would have been making good money. It could have probably just kept going. But regardless, like, that's how close I was to it. And somewhere along the way, I was like, I can't do this. I was like, I feel like I'm not doing this for me. I'm chasing the money and the status and the social status that provides, the prestige that of being an engineer, and how people react to that and stuff like that. And I realized. I was like, I'm doing this for the wrong reason. So I stopped, and I stopped going to college, and I dropped out. And that's when I discovered content creation, and I'm like, there's no way that this is a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, you're talking about these streamers were creating, making $500,000 a month, you know, grand, making a ridiculous amount of money. And I'm like, I don't need to do that. I can easily replace $30,000 then, you know. That was the start of it. But what happened and how that transformed, like, that start of that journey was the start to realizing that I have a gift and being able to create to be able to relate to other people that are going through darkness and help them out of darkness and not make like to make them feel like they're not alone. You know, sure, I can work on my language because English is not my first language. Yeah. Spanish is, you know, and I can, as I practice this, I develop to, I refine the craft.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what I've been doing. But like all that started because of that like small journey. It's like, if you would have told me that, like, 2 years prior, like, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah,
you
know what I
mean? So it's like, you're right. He works in these ways in a much bigger way when you step back and you see his hand at work. And it's like, how do I keep that frame of mind at all times?
How do you keep the frame? You pray.
Yeah. Well, I know the answer now, but that was,
you read your Bible, bro.
Right.
You pray and you read your Bible. Because if you're not reading your Bible, you're not being reminded by his word that he is good.
Right. And that's happened.
You know?
Yep.
And it's the word that feeds your soul to remind you that he's good.
Right.
Right. So we go back into it. But time is kicking. So it's actually we've been here for a while.
How long have we talked?
Hour and a half. Yeah. Actually, bro, I would love to do this again with you sometime.
Absolutely. Bro. Yeah.
I would love to do this again with you sometime.
Do you live nearby?
Yeah, I live. I'm a Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
About 5. Actually, I moved.
Okay.
I moved. So I live, six. I used to live down here, but now I live like 6 minutes down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where do you stay?
I live all the way out in East Berlin.
Where is that?
I'm not from. Out by Gettysburg. I'm 15 minutes from Gettysburg.
I'm from New York, bro.
Oh, you're from New York.
So when you were saying all that Times Square stuff,
I got you. Okay.
So I don't, where is that?
It's about almost 2 hours from here. Listen, I would go. This is what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the idea of talking to you, but I would go far for him and anything. I love helping. I will bend over backwards for people, and it's
Yeah, I mean, if you
shot
ever
myself
want,
in the foot.
If you ever want to do anything like this again, man, let me know.
Yo, absolutely. I mean, I'll have to get your number and everything if you're okay with that. For sure. And I can come on my podcast as well too. I mean, I'm going to take this as well too. If you know, but I think that this was excellent. We'll do a 3 mic setup that time. Because I know he's got. I've been seeing his face over there. Just you know.
Yeah, man, I'm down. Like even if you want to do something over FaceTime or something.
Yeah, that'd
like,
be great. Yeah,
I'm down.
Yeah, yeah, we could do. We don't have to do a location based. We do it online as well too. That works out for me too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, can I pray for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely, okay? Absolutely.
Father God, I had to just thank you for Brian and Carlos. God, this was a wonderful conversation. To be reminded, what I got from this conversation is to be grateful. I'm grateful for what we have, God. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our wives. We thank you for our kids, God. We thank you for our health. We thank you for family and friendship, God. And most importantly, Jesus, we thank you for you, God. Big G God, who shows a love that we can't even begin to fathom or understand. So, Father, we just thank you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Man, that made me tear up, man. I mean, when you said about gratitude, I started thinking about my wife and my kid, and I'm like, God, I'm just so lucky. Thank you, God.
Amen, man.
Amen, amen.
Amen, bro. Amen.
Woo!